I think when you want to grow and you're willing to put forth the faith and the courage to try something scary, I think that's where the gold is. That's where the reward is. That's been my experience with this lifestyle. And I think Sanctum provides that for people where privacy is important to, where artistic sensibility and being in a gorgeous environment is important to. We do that.
To another episode of Girls Gone Deep. I'm Elle.
And I'm V.
And we have a lovely guest with us today who is Daniel from Sanctum.
Yes, that Sanctum, the private members-only club that, much like us, you are probably wondering what goes on behind the doors once you put your mask on and go inside and hand in your phone. So we are going to get all the dirty details, and we're going to go super deep with Daniel D'Ottavio.
Thank you for being here, Daniel.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about how you got involved in Sanctum and what your role is?
I play a few roles, but my official title is for public relations. However, I'm also by trade a photographer. So all the Sanctum photographs you see on social media or newsletters are my photos that I create with my wife, storyboard with my wife. Thank you. So it started out as photography and helping my wife, but it's also gotten into creating furniture for the events, stages, props, that sort of thing. I'm a bit handy. So it's a cross of all the different fun hobbies I've ever had up until now, and applying it to the whole brand.
Amazing.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And so, yeah. And she also has a role within Sanctum. Is that correct?
Oh, she's got the big one. She's the creative director. Mm-hmm. While she's doing other things too, she comes up with all the ideas, all the art direction, all the storyboarding, the costume ideas, the flowers, the music curation, the casting. Like she really wears many, many hats. But her background as a performer and our network, because of that, has certainly helped make accessible a wide range of talent that we're already in our network.
I go to a lot of the burlesque places that I see that she performs, Duane mm-hmm. Park, around the city. Mm-hmm.
That's where we met.
Oh, okay. So let's talk about your origin story. So how did Great. You guys meet, and how did you come to be where you're at now?
Okay. That's a great story. I just got back from Paris from a shoot, so I was feeling pretty good about myself. And I went to Duane Park to photograph a show, which I've done because I photographed a lot of dancers. And I was wearing my best suit. So I thought, oh man, I'm feeling good. I don't know if you've ever traveled to Paris, but you definitely kind of get a vibe, you know. And she performed that night. And I recall her very clearly because she's very distinctive. Inka Naval is a world burlesque champion. She has very distinctive tattoos, and she's very liberated if you see her perform. So I get an email from the owner of the venue asking if I was single. I said, yes, I am. And she said that Lulu Deville had inquired about me. So in my mind, I thought maybe she saw me in the crowd. But come to find out, she has bad eyesight. She didn't see me at all. She just saw an underwear photo on Instagram that the other girls were sharing. So, you know, that was kind of cute. But looking at her Instagram, I thought, oh my God, I'm so not her type. And she thought the same because I don't have a single tattoo on my body and she's covered in them. So we were both a little like cautious, but once we met, it was like instantaneous. You know, we were the same.
How so? You've talked about how you have such a connection, and you know, going through your Instagram, it seems like she is a huge inspiration in your creative life and your photography.
Well, she has this, she's so comfortable in her own body and so authentic in who she is and her expression and her comfort that it makes you feel comfortable. So I remember our first date, I had no game. I remembered sort of laughing at myself. And I said to her, I'm really sorry. I'm not always like this. And she said, I hope that you are. And I was like, what? And that's when I was like, oh man, I'm a total vulnerable fool in front of this woman. And I love it. So she has that quality of making people feel like they can be themselves.
And What is the dynamic now that you have? So you obviously work together with Sanctum. Are there other areas and ventures in which you work together?
No, primarily Sanctum, I would say. We're pretty private mostly because Sanctum is our job, so to speak. So we're very private when it comes to having any experiences outside of the world of Sanctum. We try not to mix the two too much because we're trying to avoid any unnecessary conflict down the road. So we're pretty private.
So you guys are monogamous, is that correct?
Yeah, I'd say we're starting to experiment, but we just do it very carefully and very privately, as to not have any bounce back on our work. So, I mean, of course, you know, the opportunities are there. We're in this highly sensuous environment. But I just find it kind of keeps us more grounded in the work respect. Because I think once you kind of go there with somebody, they might feel privy as it relates to, yeah. So to answer your question, yeah, we really very, very rarely step outside the lines.
Yeah. It seems to be a common theme. Like even Daniel Saint was saying that even in his sex club spaces that he tends to have more private play. And when I think about the times that I've even hosted an event at my own house or a sex party and had, 20 to 30 people, I find that I tend to sometimes take that hosting role and more of a, hey, is everybody else having fun, to keep that separation.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely is the case for us.
How did you find Sanctum if you are not lifestyle, let's say?
We were invited to Sanctum because they had attended our off-Broadway erotic rope bondage, contemporary rope bondage dinner theater. So Sanctum was my first party before this ever. So yeah, that's how we started. So
when was that?
This was 2021, I want to say.
Oh, so you're relatively newer.
Yes,
to the
organization. Absolutely.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool. And so Sanctum is a club that started in 2013. It was founded mm-hmm. in 2013 in LA. And since then, it has moved across the country to different cities, primarily New York and LA. Is that correct?
Yes, we do events all over the world, but we're also looking to host Chicago and Miami this coming year as well.
Wonderful. And mm-hmm. it changed ownership in 2019.
That's
so
correct.
Mm-hmm. You only became part of Sanctum after the new ownership has moved in.
That's correct. Yes.
Okay, so you go to your first Sanctum event in 2021. Yeah. And what was that like for you?
It was like sensory overload at first, which I think is the case for a lot of people the first time they walk in, because everything is so beautiful. And it's a learning process too. It was exciting, but learning how to communicate. It's amazing to be in an environment where you feel like everything's there for the taking, but it's not, because there's protocol with consent. And that to me was like very eye-opening. I'd never been to a party before. So that was pretty like, wow, all you have to do is ask. Because I'm from an older generation where we weren't taught those things. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Consent and those things weren't as a common conversation as it is nowadays. People are so much more educated, sexually liberated than they were 20 years ago. So it's less taboo to discuss those kind of matters. So yes. I was very impressed by how open everyone was.
Yeah. And I would say like the openness that you see in these sexual spaces is not what you see, say, in the monogamy dating world. It's not very common to ask permission mm-hmm. to do certain things.
Right. Or movies or TV.
To be more dominant.
Do you ever see like TV shows and movies and you're like, this is so wrong. They're not asking consent.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Because everybody has an idea of what this world might be like until they step into it. And then they're like, oh, there's a very clear protocol in place.
Yes, consent.
Well, speaking of like all this communication and consent stuff that you've experienced in these spaces at Sanctum, I imagine that you and Inka are probably really good at saying no, because you are monogamous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people ask and I will say that, but thank you, or we're flattered, thank you,
So let's talk a little bit about Sanctum. So you go to your first party, and then how did you become involved in it on the PR side?
And by this time, you're with Inca. And was it also her first time?
Yeah, we went to Sanctum together for the first time. But she's performed at many erotic events previous. So she had a lot more experience in this whole world than I had. But as a performer, which is different than being a guest per se. Mm-hmm. So to back up, Sanctum found us through our off-Broadway rope bondage dinner theater called Cocoon. If you want to check it out, Cocoon Dark is the website, which is, you can read about what we did. But she had the idea to showcase erotic art in a poetic storytelling way and touching all the senses, sight, sound, smell, taste, touch through a four-course fine dining. And the story that she wrote in a very poetic way is a love story and how this character through contemporary rope bondage found healing and catharsis. So it's a relatable story, but it's also very poetic and beautiful and artistic. We created this during the pandemic. We took advantage of the time we had, and that's how Cocoon was materialized. So it was the owners of Sanctum that attended our show and really got what we did and understand the need to do erotic storytelling. A lot of people just use shock factor or campy acts, but learning how to tell a story through erotic arts is a craft I think very few people know how to do, or at least in a way that's original, which is what Inca's, one of her many great talents is knowing how to do that time and time again and telling erotic stories at Sanctum in ways that you'll never see anywhere else because she comes up with these amazing ideas.
Can you give us an example of erotic storytelling? Like, I imagine at Sanctum, you might have shorter versions of what you give at Cocoon, right? So like you won't have a full 2-hour performance or something.
Right. Well, we do find people have not a long attention span, five minutes, 10 minutes we've found. Yeah. So we try to keep it within those bounds, but she'll relate storytelling to a classical piece of art, like, for example, Leda and the Swan, the famous painting. So we'll do a Black Swan. So we have ballet dancer. We'll do opera. We'll find professional artists who will dip their toes into our world in a way that I don't think many other places that I know of can do. And so much of that is because of Inca's credibility as a world burlesque champion. Her reputation and her professionalism has allowed the community of performance arts to know what we're doing and be interested in being a part of what we're creating here. So that's pretty cool to witness.
Yeah, I feel like it's like boundless way to express art in an erotic way that you might not be able to express in, say, New York City or even some other cities in the public eye. So being at a space like Sanctum allows for a little bit more, I guess, a variety of creativity. I think I love that.
Yeah, there's a lot of attention to detail. And, you know, again, a testament to my wife, so much of her talent I've noticed as burlesque artist or creative director with Sanctum is so much of her, women really respond to her art. Women are always like, wow, this is beautiful. That detail is important. That detail is important. I hear that a lot from women, how much they appreciate the details and the thoughtfulness in every nuance. And it makes women, as you know, they hold the keys to the kingdom. It makes them feel safe and inspired and beautiful. And you want to be in a beautiful environment. And once you can do that with great lighting, sound, music, decor, then it's like, you know, inspiring.
So I think that a lot of preconceived notions of Sanctum, one of the things is, you know, it's super expensive, right? And so it's for the 1%, it's for the elite. I think knowing that, you know, you give that really elevated experience, it's not your average sex club, sex party in a nicer environment. It sounds like you guys are really creating an elevated experience with performance art and really touching all five senses. So can you give us a kind of idea of what a night at Sanctum would be?
Yeah, so to start at the beginning, yes, it is a higher price point. But, you know, as they say, often you get what you pay for. And so the experience that people can expect is one of like unparalleled luxury and beauty. So we try to touch on having beautiful artists work with us. We put a lot of thought into the details, the finishing of the spaces we're in, the service that we provide. And it's true that we like to have affluent people. And I would say our common type is CEO types, athletes, professional athletes, artists, anyone who is extremely good at what they do and affluent. What we do is very specific. And I think because of that, we attract a certain kind of community and we cater to those people.
Yeah, but I love that you provide a space for this community, because I imagine people who are in these elite, prestigious positions and careers, they need anonymity of this type of lifestyle because it can literally shut down people's careers. There's a lot of judgment still around, you know, this type of lifestyle.
And to that point, privacy is also what we strive for to the highest level possible. From first of all, the theme being a masquerade event is intentional because it does provide people with the opportunity to disguise their identity. We've had celebrities come, and they're more likely to come check it out if they know that they can wear an eye mask or face mask. You know what I mean? We don't allow phones to come through the door. We have to check them in. I'm not sure what a lot of other places do, but I've had conversations with guests who are just thrilled just to check their phone in, because they become present of mind and body. They're not reaching for their phone out of nervousness or habit. So just people not having a phone on them makes for a more engaging party between the members.
How large are the parties?
It depends on the city. It can vary. Usually minimum 100 people.
Yeah, and are you at the same venue at each location in each city, or do you constantly change?
We always change. I'd say every year or so, we change spaces.
And would you say what type of membership and attendees come? Are they, I don't know, swingers, lifestyle people? Are they voyeurs who just want to kind of watch?
Yeah, we get all types. I have an affinity towards couples because this has helped my growth, personal growth, so much in my marriage, this whole culture, that we get a lot of couples. We find that, you know, looking to re-spark their marriage or have an experience. And it's very sweet to watch people blossom. And I'm not talking about sex. You can just see it. You can see them from party to party to party. I've seen a lot of people just grow closer to their partners or even to themselves from just being a part of the club itself and being part of the community. So that's been really fun to witness. I actually have a client who had told me they went through like two or three marriage counselors and then they found Sanctum, and that has like saved their marriage.
Oh my God, I love that. Yeah. Well, it's like when you see other couples in this space expressing love so freely and having that level of communication that that really fosters that deep, authentic connection with each other, you learn from that. You absorb that good energy. And, you know, you've mentioned it a few times about how this lifestyle has strengthened your relationship with Inca. Can you go into a little bit about what it is about these experiences that have helped your relationship or even you personally grow?
I think accountability is big, and communication. I think any kind of deep intimacy first begins with communicating, whether that's with words or your body. And if you don't do that well, obviously you run the potential of it falling apart. So that's always been like the most important thing to me, is like I want to make sure that I protect our intimacy, protect our what we have. I want it to be, you know, safe and special and our own. So that's why we've moved very slow in the lifestyle, I think. The best advice a friend of mine always gave me, he said, just go slow. You know, if you're really in love or if you're afraid of messing up, just move very slowly in this lifestyle. Don't be in a big hurry.
Yeah. And that's one thing I love about sex clubs is like when you're Sex clubs are great for people who are just getting their feet wet. They just want to kind of observe and understand, because you can go, you can observe.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden you see these things and you go, hey, babe, that guy was doing this, or there was a threesome, or that toy. What do you think about that? And it just starts to really initiate the fantasy and the conversation.
Yeah, and the communication, right.
Yeah.
I find people come in sometimes hoping or thinking of an experience, but they end up leaving having a different experience that they didn't know they would have. And that's always fun to witness too, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, the first couple of sex clubs that I went to, I didn't participate. I just watched. And the partners that I went with, because like you said, when you walked in, you were like sensory overload, like, oh my God,
right.
scroll. There's so much happening. There's people fucking, there's beautiful, you know, performances going on. Like it's just, it's so much. And I cashed in on that sexual energy afterwards, though. You know, you see all these beautiful couples having sex around you, and then you go home and you want to like ravage your partner.
What we do is so artistic. We're really just trying to elevate the eroticism and just give people a sense of freedom, total safety and total freedom.
Yeah. One thing I wanted to ask you about your performances, like you talk about, you know, creating this free open space. Are all of your performances, not all, but do you include some that are kink based, right? Where you're
oh,
doing
yeah.
the shibari, the spanking, the impact, you know, what is the variety of performances that you put on?
I mean, it runs the gamut. Typically we'll have some kind of theme that we'll do from party to party, but we don't tell people what that is. I mean, even though it's black tie, we still want to keep, you know, some surprises. So yeah, we have kink that's displayed. We have DOMs. We have things that you love, you should see. I don't want to give too much away because okay. that's part of the fun. but again, that goes back to Inka's talent. She's so good at finding someone who has some sort of specific talent and working that into an erotic storytelling performance. So let's say somebody's good at, I don't know, spinning in the air, doing aerial. She can find a way to use that in a sensual, erotic way that is artistic, but also like completely original, at least that I know of.
This reminds me a little bit of, I heard someone say in a podcast about Sanctum that it doesn't feel like a sex party. It feels like an event that people have sex at. And that really resonated with me. And it sounds like the picture that you're painting for me, I'm thinking of, have you been to Sleep No More in New York?
Yes.
Like kind of like just following a performer mm-hmm. through a space and, you know, just this very mysterious experience and, you know, the lighting and atmosphere has so much to do with that. And it creates
that's a
really
great analogy.
I
would definitely describe what we do as theatrical by nature. From the music to the lighting, to the sound, to fog, to like, you know, all kinds of little tricks that reveals that we do. To kind of keep people on their toes. We always try to give them, take them in a direction and give them something they didn't know was coming.
So what is your experience and relationship with kink?
It didn't start until I met Inka. And our first Sanctum party we went to, I brought my paddle with me and I watched her dom and I was just mind blown. So immediately I'm like, I want to learn this. And my background is also, I'm a massage therapist over about 20 years now. So body awareness, anatomy, physiology, something I'm already pretty familiar with. And so as we started to attend Sanctum parties, I would bring my tools with me, my floggers and paddles. And it started to become a normal thing where people just looked for me just for that purpose. So that ended up transitioning into teaching impact play because I began to build a reputation for doing impact play for guests.
So
now I'm teaching it as well for couples.
You are teaching it. Okay. So is this something that our listeners can, you know, sign up for or buy tickets for, or is it more private
yes.
stuff?
That's a great question. No, that's a good question because the class kind of is like a way you can just kind of see what we're about. You can meet me. You can meet my wife, Inka. You can ask questions. So we've had a lot of couples come to the classes and end up transitioning coming to the events because they wanted to sort of see what we were about, you know?
Yeah.
So I would teach impact play for couples as a means to using the genre to grow closer and to work through stuff.
So can we find information on upcoming workshops on your Instagram?
On Sanctum's website, yes.
Oh, so it's through Sanctum.
It's through Sanctum, yeah.
Okay, cool. Okay, gotcha. I love this. A lot of different sex clubs in the city are also doing workshops and education components. And it's so important to do that because with kink and fetish, it's so important, the safety aspect.
Yeah, of course, the safety, but also to ask the question, why? Why are you interested in this fetish or this kink, and to use that in a that answer in a responsible way, because you know, we all run out of words, and sometimes physicalizing things kind of helps you reconnect with yourself or someone else. That could be it's very meditative. So doing impact play in the beginning, of course, it's like, oh, this is hot, this is sexy, oh my god, I have this, you know, naked person bending over in front of me. But now it's like a form of body work, a form of physical therapy, because it's meditating for a lot of people.
You are singing these praises. I know, right now.
You are speaking my language. Well, fired up. Come,
I'll give you a
spanking.
Come to Sanctum and I'll show you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can usually hear me through the house. Seriously.
Actually, this past weekend, I went to a party with my partner and a couple of our partners. And my partner is not super into impact play. Like, he'll do it, but like, it's not, you know, he's like, I'll do it because it makes you happy. But this other man that we went with, he is very into spanking. And I was like, what? And there was help me with the name of this thing. It's like an old school, like, you know, you put your wrists through and your head through and it like.
A guillotine type of thing.
Yeah.
Like where you chop your head off kind of a
like
thing.
Stockades or something like
that. A stockade. Yes.
Okay. That's what it's called. So they had one of those. So I was in that. Very uncomfortable for the wrists, I must say. Because also when I find when I'm, you know, on an Alexander cross or something like that, I'm holding on really tightly. And there's nothing to kind of hold on to when you're in the stockade. So anyway, he spanked me and I was talking to him afterwards because I haven't had a good spanking session in a very long time. And for me, I have spoken about on this podcast and to anyone who will listen about how meditative it is for me and how cathartic it is. And so
absolutely,
Elle has also given me a really great session where, you know, basically I was like, make me cry. Like I need a release and I wanted that. And then the aftercare, it's so therapeutic. And so I was asking him, you know, what do you get out of this? And he was like, you know, it's such a gift to have someone be vulnerable with me and let me do kind of what I want with them within reasons. Obviously we have safe words and he knows my boundaries and he's checking in with me. So what is it for you? What have you articulated that you get out of being the impactor, the top?
It's a good question. It's not so far different than being a massage therapist or a photographer, I've found, which is helping people start from being self-conscious, guarded, insecure, to feeling celebrated, seen, unique. You know, there's no greater inspiration than feeling seen, right? I mean, I think that's always the most inspiring thing. So I think impact play allows that channel for people to feel seen. So like you said earlier, I've done impact play with famous celebrities, to just first timers, to couples, to husbands, wives. And it's always with the intention of like paying it forward, helping people from getting from point A to point B. And then also explaining to them what's happening. Because, you know, like they say, with a lot of powers, there's a lot of responsibility that comes with it. So going through, you know, have you done this before? These are your safety words. I'm going to check in, make sure you're breathing, and focusing on that individual is very cathartic. And also I find it gives a lot of people a a good story to tell without having to go maybe in the deep end of the pool, without having to totally dive into the scene. They can say, oh my God, I got spanked. But I do find it's very, very cathartic and therapeutic for people, mm-hmm. for sure.
I can't wait to attend a class. Seriously. I love the way you speak.
Or just come
about
to a party and I'll show you firsthand.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So wait, I have to ask. So you talk about the cathartic therapy benefits of it. Yeah. Have you actually brought someone to orgasm with impact play?
Yes, with help of a vibrator, of course. But I have more so seen people cry. Mm-hmm. Like literally get to the point where they're just purging and crying, you know.
Which can feel quite orgasmic, I must say.
Sure.
It's a release,
sure.
You know. Sneezes,
it orgasms, is a huge release.
Crying.
No, but it is flattering. I do have guests who come and they'll bring a friend. They'll be like, oh, this is my friend. I told her all about you and she wants to try it. And you know,
that's the greatest compliment.
Totally. Yeah. I had a
referral.
There was a recent celebrity I was working with. She said, I always look forward to getting spanked by Daniel when I come. And I'm like, oh my God, that's like the nicest thing anyone could tell me. Aww. Thank you.
You know? So do you have that dynamic with Inca? Do you two experiment with BDSM in your private life?
Yes, we do. We do. Absolutely.
With all your gorgeous,
and it's always a
aesthetically pleasing toys.
Yes, there are many. We actually have a curiosity cabinet we called that we made for Cocoon that started out as a means to showcase BDSM pieces in an artistic way. So I'd find pieces that were either aesthetically beautiful or designed to be. So I've added to that collection through the last few years. So it's in the house now. It's art.
It's art. Exactly. So actually, to that point, what do you think is the importance of having spaces like Sanctum to go to?
I think when you want to grow and you're willing to put forth the faith and the courage to try something scary, I think that's where the gold is. That's where the reward is. That's been my experience with this lifestyle. And I think Sanctum provides that for people where privacy is important to, where artistic sensibility and being in a gorgeous environment is important to. Some people want that. They want to be surrounded by beautiful people in a beautiful place. So we do that. We do that time and time again, and we always do it in a new way every time, which is why, you know, we change locations every year or so, which is why we always showcase erotic performance art that's original that you won't see anywhere else.
So there are a lot of repeat customers, and your members mm-hmm. do come, they can come every single time and get a new experience out of it.
Absolutely.
Now, how large is Sanctum, and are you accepting more members? And then also, like, do you allow guests to come for a one-time experience to try it out?
We have a first-time ticketed price that is, I believe, $2,000. Normally, it's $2,500 for a single man or a couple. But as far as the membership side, that's not my department. I'm not sure how many members we have currently. But I am aware that after 3 ticketed events, you are required to join as a member, which is $12,500 per year. And that allow you to attend any of the events and also gives you 50% off classes.
Knowledge makes me horny, so... that really entices me. So since I know you didn't go before 2021, however, you know, this has been around for a while. Sanctum has been around since 2013. And since there was new management in 2019, how would you kind of describe the changes that have happened since then to someone who maybe went earlier on, you know?
Yeah, we're more streamlined. We're more professional, more organized. Everyone who's involved in creating the Sanctum events has their whole heart into what we're doing. So it's just been blossoming and getting better and better with practice and time. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, and then anything specifically that you do differently, or is it, you know, my understanding is, you know, you kind of like walk in, you'll have the performances, you'll have some VIP areas for more exclusive members. Everybody's wearing masks. Is that correct?
Yeah, typically in the beginning of the evening.
That is required?
We encourage it. It's not absolutely required, but we do encourage everyone to come in with the masquerade mask, and even the staff wears them as well.
Oh, I love that. What do you think that anonymity adds to the environment and to someone's experience?
I think it gives people the opportunity to decide to take the next step. You know, when you walk into this environment, you can be anyone you want to be, in a sense, because of your privacy. It's like Sleep No More analogy. You can kind of get lost, right? You can discover who you are and ask questions about yourself. So the mask sort of gives you that first step to say, you know what, maybe I want to keep this on this first time. But what we've found is we've developed such a beautiful, consistent community of guests and members that I'd say half the people here already are friendly with each other and know each other. And we've also seen a lot of close friendships develop here, platonic friendships, you know. Yes, of course, there's sex happening and all of that, but I think a lot of people just look forward to seeing the community at large and just to catch up and share whatever stories there are to share, you know.
The wearing of the mask, I liken it to the hiding, to taking of the cell phones in the beginning of the night. It adds a level of protection and safety.
So and we sell masks. We have custom made masks from a handmade leather smith that we found based out of New York. So if you go online, you can see that.
You can buy masks online.
No, we've steered away from the Venetian vibe to something more modern. They're leather masks. You can see online. They're really nice. We present them in a custom handmade leather bound box and everything. So they're beautifully presented.
Wonderful. I love that. Oh, mm-hmm. Very, very on brand for you. Beautifully presented.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, presentation's important.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes. Absolutely. So what would you say – sorry, Al, I'm kind of like taking over this.
You're good.
I have so many questions. Oh, and I wanted to note for anyone who doesn't know what Sleep No More is and isn't able to frantically Google it while we're talking about it because we've mentioned it twice, it's a – do you want to explain it, Daniel? Al, I don't even know if you know what it is.
it's immersive theater. So it's you move through space while a story is being told. Throughout different areas simultaneously. So every time you go, you have a different experience depending on where you are in the environment. So, and sadly, I think they're about to close
pretty
soon.
They're ending their run after years in the city. Mm-hmm. I've gone twice.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
I'm very lucky to have done that. Daniel, how many times have you been?
Many times. We know one of the, we know a few people there. Some of the artists I know have photographed and I actually did a photo shoot there once of Willem Dafoe. So that was fun.
Willem, I met him in an airport in Rome once.
Nice.
Anyway, I'm getting way off track here.
That's okay.
Anyway,
you're having fun.
You've been very meaty with your answers. So like some people we have to talk to for like an hour and 15 minutes to get what we want out of them. I feel like we're getting what we want from you.
Oh, yeah. This is quality for sure.
And I want to make sure that you also feel that you're, you know, talking about the things that you want to. Is there anything else that you want to hit on?
I think I just want to emphasize the erotic artistry that we do and the high level of service and privacy that's in place. Decorum is and consent is at the top of our list. So we are very particular in who we allow in. We always interview people before we give them permission to be here. So nobody's here that we don't know that's already coming. So the vetting process is very meticulous. We want to get to know you and what you're about. However, if there are people that are concerned about privacy, we do private interviews as well. So nothing has to be written online. If you don't have to inquire online, if you do not want to. We have celebrities come, some of which we'll give an alias to and not inform the guests that there is one there. So it's a place for people to explore safely and be themselves, knowing that there are rules in play that allow for privacy. There's an NDA that we require our guests to agree to as well ahead of time to maintain the privacy and not speak about who attended, what people attended, if you saw anybody. So privacy is important to us.
Wow. Well,
I was going to say, how do you enforce it? But I guess by having people sign an NDA, that's...
Yes, we
there
do.
There you go.
Yeah. We're very big on decorum. So like, you know, if anyone does break the rules, usually we have a one strike policy. So we don't mess around if people get, overly intoxicated or aren't, going through the certain steps of consent. So and we also have security in place, keeping an eye on people. So everything is very, very professional.
So speaking of consent, how do you make sure that everybody is aware of the consent rules and boundaries? Do you have – it doesn't sound like this is like a consent speech type of place.
No, usually come in, you're in the environment. So before anyone comes, we do have a full interview with them to explain consent and make sure they sign the NDA that they do understand what consent looks like in this environment. But we've rarely had that issue. I think we already have such a great community and people behave so well that I think it would be, unwise for anyone to try to test that. So the environment with everyone in black tie is already making everyone be their best selves, more self-aware. I think there's something to that.
Do you have a policy for single females? Like they can come in complimentary or?
Some can, yes. It depends on the availability that we have and how many tickets we've sold, but you can certainly inquire, absolutely.
Do your events cap off how many females or males are there in order to maintain balance?
Yes, we
do. Is there a limit to how many people can attend these events and like what's the average?
Yeah, we do have a cap. It depends on the floor print. Our Los Angeles location, for example, is much larger. It's just a larger footprint. And so we can afford more people, But we don't want it to be too big and we don't want it to be too small. So we try to find that right amount. That's very important to us to make sure it's the right amount of people for the space that we're working with.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a level of intimacy that changes when you start to get too big or too many people.
Absolutely.
And then it all leads to uncomfortableness, too much energy, in my opinion. I'm very empathic. And,
yeah.
It's also a vibe that happens when you get a group of people together that it has to flow.
Absolutely.
So I'd love to kind of end with, first of all, Sanctum sounds like a fucking dream. And actually, it does sound like a fever dream.
That's how I describe it to people when they ask me. That's how I explain it. you feel like you're in a dream because it is so beautiful.
Do you find that a lot of people end up actually having sex?
Sure.
And yeah, really? Okay. Because I feel like I would just be so enamored with the experience and like seeing it. But then again, maybe.
You would be enamored with the experience and I would be all over the place having sexual.
There's a lot of beautiful people. So there's a lot of fangirling happening. It's very just female empowered. Even most of our whole staff are women, and that's intentional. So it's very female empowering environment, I would say. And one of the compliments I commonly hear women say is how comfortable they feel and how great it is to walk around naked and not feel like they're going to be preyed upon at all. And you could see it in their faces and eyes. So again, to that dream come true, it is really like that. You have to see.
I mean, it sounds like with people like you and Inca kind of like organizing these and at the helm of this event group, I think that it really does paint a picture of safety.
Yeah, I think it helps set a tone. If people know that she's my wife and that we work together. It's interesting when I love it when I get approached and they're like, hey, are you single? I'm like, no, I'm married. No, oh, who's your wife? And I'll point across the room and they're always like, that's your wife? And I'm like, I know, right? Like they always say, you're so lucky. And I'm like, that's what I tell her. Tell her I said that because,
Oh, that's lovely.
Well, I really appreciate you describing the whole, you know, ethos and energy behind everything you do. You put so much reverence and thought into the attention, the detail, the eroticism.
We really care about our members. We care about their personal journeys. We want to help facilitate whatever journey that they're on in a very safe, elevated environment where people can just be themselves. It is that dream come true. That's the best way I can describe it. So if anyone's interested in checking us out, know that, that's what you're stepping into, is that magical sort of dream come true.
So where can we find you? Can you tell us about where to find Sanctum, where to find Cocoon? Can you get, just all throw all those out there?
There's sanctum.com. Instagram is Sanctum Society. Cocoon, which we don't have running right now. We hope to get back running eventually, is cocoondark.com, where you can read a little bit about Inca and myself and our baby, as we call it, which started our journey in this whole world. My Instagram is my last name in 77. So it's dotavio77. You're welcome to message me. And my email address is daniel@snctm.com.
Okay. I mean, if you want to hire him as a photographer, you can see his work on Sanctum's website.
Yes, you
it's
can.
Just stunning. And I actually had questions about that too. But I want to leave this with just one more question, because that's all we have time for. What are some aha moments or nuggets that you have taken away being part of this community and going to Sanctum from the first time and now having been part of so many people's journey in this lifestyle?
Okay. No, it's an important question, because so much of the magic of what we do here is, I think, based in personal growth and personal truth. And so for me, it's helped me connect all the different parts of who I am. There are so many, it's just always been my nature. I've had to learn how to be different things in different circumstances. And stepping into this world has taught me how to be more connected to who I am and to know who I am more fully, and to hold all of those pieces at once. So I've become more empowered. And that theme is what I notice with members after time, is that they're more confident. They have a more clear voice. They're more empowered. The more you know, the more you realize you don't know. So they're excited about their erotic journeys as it relates to themselves or their marriages or experiences they want to have. And, you know, coming to Sanctum time after time is kind of like that reminder. And it's also fun to just kind of share in your journey with other people, to be like, oh, you have that fantasy too? Or, oh, that's good for you. You want to try this or that. That's good on you. It just creates an environment that people can feel safe in a very elevated way. And so for me, this whole experience has taught me how to be more grounded and more whole as a man, as a husband, as a father, as an artist. And I'm happier than I've ever been. It's
Daniel.
So I wish for that. I wish for that for other people. I want, you know, when you have something great, you want to share that. So, you know, I think that's part of my affinity towards watching couples blossom in this environment, because it's cathartic for me to witness that.
Well, Daniel, everything that you just said is exactly what we try to embody here at this podcast, is going deep on so many levels of finding your true authentic self and finding joy and being a better person every day for it. So we are so happy to have you here.
Thank you
for sharing all this little insights. My heart is so happy right now.
Me too. That was beautiful.
Well, you have to come. You'll have to come attend. We'll do an impact play session if you'd like. And you can come check out the dream that I'm describing and see the erotic performances. And you got to see my wife. My wife, yes. In case you haven't seen, is stunning. she's a world burlesque champion. Mm. She, you know, she was a beauty queen. She's super hot. You're one of those.
And she's
nice.
Linked. Her Instagram is linked to yours. So, you know, if you just follow dotavio77 on Instagram, you can see in his bio, you know,
Lulu DeVille. Website. She's much more famous than me. She's
Lulu
all over the
DeVille,
place.
Lulu DeVille, Sanctum Society, all of it is linked there. So,
We'll put in our show notes. Well, you are both beautiful inside and out. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for the interview, and we hope to see you as guests very soon. You have to come.
Will do. Thanks, Daniel.
So
Oh, so lovely. Of course, I went up to him and because I was like, I can't not. Like, I respect his work so much. And I wasn't just like fangirling. I was like, dude, that was a firefight. Do you guys know the, oh my God, I can't.